So, let us look at another thing that people fear today is old age. Many times people are afraid of getting old. It makes me smile when I find out what a difficulty some people have when they turn 30. You know, they say, well, it just seems like I'm getting older now, and I'm worried about it, and I'm going over the hill, or 40 the same way. Well, it's been quite a while since I've been in those ages, and I have chosen in life not to be afraid of getting older. I have to admit, I don't like what I see. I don't anticipate when I go to an old people's home to have to live and spend my final days in a way like that. But I've decided one thing, I'm not about to fear it. I'm going to live for God as long as I can, and when I can't anymore, then I'll deal with that the best that I know how. But remember this, Daniel Webster wrote his dictionary at the age of 70. Moses, that great man of God, was 80 years old when he led Israel out of bondage. And the responsibility that man carried, if he was buried, and God buried him in the wilderness just before the... I didn't check that out, exactly when he died, but I think he had led the children of Israel on a large part of that journey through the wilderness. So he may have lived to well over 100 or 110 or more years old, leading the children of Israel. I think he led the children of Israel through the almost entire 40 years, and then Joshua and Caleb took them across the river. Thinking that that may not be quite right there, but he did lead them through that entire time, and God would not let him cross over and go into the Canaan land, and took him and buried him, so he would have led the children of Israel between 80 and 120. He didn't fear old age, and I don't think it's necessary to fear those things. Men fear insecurity today. Jesus went to great lengths teaching that we should not fear things. I think the word, I have it written down somewhere, that how many times in the Bible, or especially in the New Testament, that the words the Lord Jesus used, fear not, be not afraid. When Peter saw the Lord walking on the water, he said, Lord, bid me come out there to you. And he said, come. And he got out of the boat and he walked across the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he looked at the waves, he looked at the wind, and he began to sink. And I believe that fear caused him to sink. And then he cried out to the Lord for the Lord to save him. But sometimes a problem with fear is simply fear itself. He took his eyes off the Lord, he felt the wind blow, and he saw the waves and kind of like a storm-like atmosphere appear, and he was afraid, and when he was afraid, he began to sink. And you and I will too. If we are ruled by fear and get our eyes off the Lord, we are going to sink in whatever situation we are. God wants us to focus on Him. He has a calling and a purpose for us, and we need to look to Him to finish it until He's done with us. And then He can take us home, and we want to forever be with Him. But it is not the will of God that we be terrorized by the waves of the sea and by the winds that blow in our lives. What winds have been blowing through your life that have caused undue anxiety? Fear. Remember, fear has torment. A lot of people lose sleep over things that they are afraid of. A lot of people make a lot of decisions based upon fear rather than upon faith. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. I often picture it like a bear trap. I like to look at a bear trap because of the teeth that it has on to dig into the leg of a bear and hold the bear. And that's how I see the fear of man. It incapacitates people. They would have the privilege to do all kinds of things and be free for God and do something for the Lord, but because they are held by fear, fear of failure, fear of starvation, fear of all kinds of things that they don't even know what really exists. They are so fearful that they cannot move. Many times I've seen that in the colonies of South Dakota and Manitoba, that people are totally ruled by fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of life outside of a colony, fear of what men say to them when they think about leaving and think about doing something different. And they bring the whole system runs on fear. And there are many that do. A lot of secular people fear of losing their jobs. And they live in that fear constantly of, what if I would lose my job? Well, and also in Matthew 26:69, we have a scripture. Let's turn to that. Matthew 26:69, when Peter denied the Lord. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel said unto him, saying, Thou wast also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out under the porch, another maid said unto him, and said unto them that were with them, that were there, This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And all this was because he was afraid that he also would be caught. He was afraid that he would also be led into the judgment hall, and maybe into prison, or maybe into crucifixion. The whole reason that Peter denied the Lord was because he feared. He was afraid of what might happen to him. And therefore he lied and denied the Lord and all those things there, simply because that he was gripped with fear. Many, many fears. Fears in life. Fear will prevent one from doing the will of God. Fear, they say, is a dark room where negatives are developed. You know how they develop negative pictures in a dark room? Fear is a dark room where negatives are developed. Remember that in your life when you have negative thoughts about all kinds of things, unusual, paralyzing, gripping fears come from negative thoughts and lack of faith and lack of trust in God. Lack of being at peace with God and with ourselves. Guilt because of sin in our life. Those things bring fears upon our life and are the opposite of what God wants. There is no place in the kingdom of God for the fearful, because we are against for the fearful, because we are in against Satan, and we need people of courage. In Revelation chapter 21, at the end of the book of Revelation there, we have a list of 8 categories which will spend time in the lake of fire, or be cast in the lake of fire. One of them is the fearful. Have you ever noticed that? The fearful, the unbelieving, will have their part in the lake of fire. God doesn't want, it's the enemy of our soul for us to be fearful. Now, let us look at some things of how to overcome fear. Remember that fear is strictly forbidden and prohibited by the Word of God. It's a characteristic of the wicked. If you look through Proverbs in some of the writings there of Proverbs, let us turn to one of them in Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Sometimes when men who are wicked, trying to rob something, you know, or trying to steal or rob a store or a business of some kind, and they hear a noise, they will go right straight through a glass window, getting all kinds of cuts on them because they are so, they know they're doing wrong, and they're so gripped by the guilt of the wrong that they're doing or the fear of getting caught that they just jump right through a window or hurt themselves in many other ways, trying to get away or trying to get out, because the wicked flee, even though no man is pursuing, just by a noise they hear. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3:14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now, like I mentioned, there are some apprehensions perhaps that tempt us at times concerning the future, concerning the end times. You know, I see things happening, I see things deteriorating on a national and an international sense in this world. Even to the point of persecution. We don't know much about the persecution here in this part of the country as far as real physical persecution is concerned. But in many, many parts of the world, it is that way. But here he's simply saying, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, be not afraid of their terror. I think one of the greatest testimonies for the Christian through the years have been to go to a stake singing, to go lie upon a stretcher quoting scriptures, seeking the comfort of God through pain, and not screaming or crying out. That has been possible by the peace that rests upon the Christian. They can walk into the jaws of death without fear. And hundreds and thousands of them have been able to do that on the basis of the promise of God's Word and being in Christ, that whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's and we will not fear, according to the commandment of God given here. In verse 15, he says how it's done. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And this is the right kind of fear. When we have the right kind of fear, we don't have to have the wrong kind of fear. When we believe God is in control, and he watches over his children and takes care of his own, even though they have to go through difficulties or trials, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you, even as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Many, many a judgment, a court trial has been that way. The Christian walks in without fear. And the judge says, or the ruler, or the lawyer, or whatever, he says, aren't you afraid? Don't you realize I have the power to do this to you or do that to you, like Pilate says? And Jesus had the right answer. He said, you have no power at all unless it's given you. No judge is going to have power to take your life. No man can pull a gun and pull the trigger unless it is the will of God. Unless it is the will of God. And we need to have our confidence and our faith in God. That's how we need to overcome fear. The next one is to enthrone Christ, to have him as the Lord of your life and to put all of your faith and confidence in Him, that no matter what happens in life, we are Him, we are His. And the element is, as we mentioned in that scripture, is simply, there's no fear in love. And where love abides, there's no fear. You know, I have to think of a child. How is it many times when a child is small and they're walking alongside of us and we come to a place where there's a big animal or a dog that's loose or something like that. How that child scrambles to climb up on us. I mean, literally clutching its way up our pant leg many times. And we clasp the child in our hands and the child looks down at the dog and is now high above the dog and loses all fear in the hands of the Father. That is the picture that you and I should have of the fears of life. There are some dogs around. There are some fearful things in this world. But when we crawl up into the lap of the Father and trust in Him and have Him as our Abba Father, we don't worry about the dogs anymore, do we? That's a good lesson that children have. They immediately are able to be calm of their fears when they are in the arms of a father or a mother who is much bigger than they are, and they love and have a good relationship, and they know that daddy or mama will protect them from that animal. And that's the confidence we need to have of our God. He is our great shepherd, and He watches over us, and He does protect us and guide us through this life. Faith is the enemy of fear. Isaiah would indicate that it's actually either fear or faith, and we have a choice to make which one it will be for us. A certain general in the Civil War who was fearful of an attack plan in the Shenandoah Valley. Let's see here where I have the rest of the story. I think it was Stonewall Jackson. I forget now. I don't have the end of that quote with me. Sorry, I have to let that. What statement he made, but anyway, he was fearful, and Stonewall Jackson gave him a clear statement. Does someone know the statement that he made that caused him to not be afraid in an attack or in a fight? I don't have that on my sheet here. But we need not to be afraid, but to put our trust and our faith in God and to live for Him. May I just talk a little bit about the fear of the future? I believe that in light of in which we live, when we see storms coming, you know, I read quite a bit of how people feared when the hurricanes came directly toward them and some of the activities of people and the fearfulness. And I believe a storm coming directly across you with those kind of winds would certainly bring some apprehension into our life. But there are many who just lose it. They are not able to trust God. I so appreciated the emails from Grenada when I saw how they went to the bathroom first, the girls, I think Sarah Herr, and then finally pulled a table into the hallway and got under that and prayed. And when they were done, the storm was over, the roof was still on their house, even though the wind had blown in, and they were protected and kept, and there was no man at home with them in their house. And even though 90% of the island was destroyed by the hurricane, those girls were not destroyed. Their house was not destroyed. And none of the missionaries lost their lives in that. So we'll probably be able to hear more about that next Sunday evening as they want to, Brother Raymond Burkholder plans to be here to give us a talk on that. But that is the importance as these things come in upon us and we enter this time of trouble and this time of storms and turmoil and political collapse or economic changes or whatever would come. in our future that we do not be afraid, but put our faith and confidence in the Lord and look to Him to guide us and to lead us through it all. May God add His blessing.
Amen. I appreciate the subject very much, freedom from fear. I'm sure everyone in this room at one time in their life has been afraid of something or has had a fear, so we can identify very quickly with the subject. And we've also, probably many of us here, seen people who have a fear that is controlling their life or controlling maybe some aspect of their life. And it's a very sad thing indeed. And many people have many fears. Fear of death, I know he mentioned, is a very common one many people have. And the Christian, when we are free in Christ, many of those things change. And though not all of them may change immediately, when we read the Word of God and we get closer to Christ and our faith increases, we hear teachings like this, I believe that can help us to continue in our walk of being free. Free from fears and letting those things control us. I know it's interesting in the New Testament, it actually seems, and I think Moses all but said this, but I guess I'll say it, it almost seems as if it's a commandment to not be afraid. There's verses like be not anxious or be careful for nothing. And that word careful there, if you look it up, is a word of fear, meaning you're actually commanded, don't be afraid. And even Jesus saying many times over, fear not, be not afraid. You get the clear heart of God that for the Christian, for those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ, don't relate to this world, don't relate to life with fear. That is not to be our response. Be careful for nothing. I mean, that's an amazing verse there. I think it's in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. And then it gives you the answer. Moses gave us several avenues or ways that we can not have fear. And in that one, it actually, I think, says, but give thanks to God. You know, there's this idea that as you get your mind off of yourself and all the good things God has done for you and you give thanks to Him, well, then the fear just, you know, it goes away because you realize the fear is unfounded. You know, I appreciate a message like this. I think we need messages like this. We need to understand God's heart. God's love for us is so good, it's so complete. He doesn't want you to be afraid. You know, I think sometimes we forget the simple truth of that. It is God's heart. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be afraid of anything. And He knows that you don't have to be, and He wants you to know it too. And so as you put your faith in Him, you have the freedom from those fears. And I know I desire, especially as Moses did, said it here, is for Christians. And sadly, there are Christians who have fears. And the good news is, you don't have to. You don't have to. You know, and may I say carefully, the people in the world that don't have Christ, I guess I understand why they are afraid. You know, maybe they should be afraid. You know, I used to be shocked at psychiatric wards, but you know, the older I get, the more I read the Bible, I sort of understand them. I don't know if that sounds strange, but they probably do feel crazy sometimes. You know, whereas the Christian, freedom from fear. You know, freedom from fear. Well, maybe some of you have a thought. Maybe some of you have been delivered from a freedom from fear after you were born again and trusted in the Lord Jesus. You have something to share or something to add to the message. We have a microphone. If you raise your hand, we'd let you share for a minute or two here. Okay, in the middle there.
I thank God for this message. Thank you, Moses, for speaking on this subject. This week, we had last weekend, we had a situation that was beyond our control. So this week, we sought counsel. And some people were very fearful. You know, you don't let go of this. Don't let go. Don't do that. You know, just all they had was warnings of fear. God led us to people who had counsel, had solutions, and I thank God for that. But in it all, we had to sort out who we were going to listen to. And the directions from the Word of God this morning on why we shouldn't fear but have confidence and trust God in these situations, I take this as coming direct to me this morning. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, I'm not there. I haven't arrived, but I really appreciated the message. I think it's a goal worth striving for, and I really appreciated the way the two messages really were the same message. The first message to be a good soldier, and the second one to not have fear, but to go on for God. I also appreciated the thoughts that were related to the Anabaptists and how they went to the stake and other types of death, singing and praying for their persecutors. And I thought about the right self preservation, one story was Dirk Willems. When he was able to escape, he ran across ice and his pursuer fell through the ice. And he turned around and pulled the guy out of the water and it cost him his life. I thought about that when Moses was talking about the beauty of that kind of self-preservation and yet being able to give up and die to yourself when there's something right that needs to be done. I'd like to be there. I confess that I'm not. I want to grow in that way. Yeah.
Yes, what a great message. And a man from Connecticut with children that I like to talk to about the Lord. I want to say Psalm 91 is like frosting on the cake to this message. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And throughout the passage, God continues to tell us there is peace as long as we're with Him. The favorite part, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under your feet. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God, in Psalm 91, gives us such a peaceful message of how when we believe in him, we can be saved. Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to say about the first message, I appreciated that emphasis that Dean gave us on faith, and really that is the foundation of a fearless life.
That's right.
Is faith. Soldiers have faith in different things that make them courageous. Maybe they're confident in the weapons that they have or whatever, but our confidence is in the love of God towards us. We have known and have believed the love that God hath for us. And I wanted to say one thing about being in Christ that Dean was stressing this morning, how everything is in Christ. And that's a concept that we don't easily grasp, because we can understand what it means to be in a room or in something that's tangible. But being in Christ is just as real as being in the room. And the Bible says that of Him we are in Christ. But that we are in, being placed in Christ becomes effective as we believe it. Just like the Scripture says that the Spirit of God dwells in us, and it is faith that activates that thing in our lives and brings it into reality. In regard to Moses' message, I'd like to read just a few verses out of Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And that's a you know, that's becoming a reality in our day. As the world gets older, many of us may experience this. But David is saying, if I am in the world and I know that God is my refuge, even though the mountain is moved into the sea, which is, if you just visualize that a moment, that's traumatic changes. I will not fear that air of confidence because God is my refuge.
And the basis of that is our trust in Him and His promises to us because He loves us. And so the real secret is, like Moses, I think, said it, and I'll say it again, is it's almost like faith and fear cannot exist in the same place at the same time. You're either going to have fear or you're going to have faith, because if you're full of faith, I'm sorry, I don't believe you can have fear. But if you have fear, I'm sorry, there's something wrong with your faith.
The thing that I thought of too is that there is a real connection between guilt and fear, like Moses brought out. And the answer is, if I'm living in fear and I don't understand why, make peace with God. You know, a person who isn't at peace with God will be fearful.
That's right.
So the answer is, make your peace with God at all costs. Clear your conscience. Deal with that deep sin that's in your life. And then the fear will be taken away.
That's right. Okay.
A good soldier is fearless. A good soldier doesn't have fear. I was thinking as today was unfolding that a soldier doesn't think about where his next meal is coming from. He makes the assumption that whoever's supposed to bring that meal, it's going to be there. The soldier's focus is on the enemy and on obedience to what the general is saying to do, not on the fear of what's going to happen when I get there. We had a blessing the tail end of 1999. My wife and I opened up the Bible and searched out what God said about providing for us and about taking care of us. And we grasped hold of those promises, and I remember that we specifically prayed and asked God to provide for us for Y2K. And we were able to, the church there in New York had a communion service December 31st of 1999, and we were able to enjoy that and rest in what God had promised. We didn't have any fear. And I want to share the testimony of what God did was that for the whole of the year, it took us a few months before we realized what happened, but for the whole of the year, God provided for us for Y2K. We thought we were asking about one day, and God took care of us. And we needn't fear. We can truly be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Right.
Amen to that. Amen to the messages today. And I bless God for what we received. The only other thought that I had was that a good soldier is not comfortable in the enemy's camp. I thought of David as he was in Saul's camp, and he was bold, but he wasn't comfortable in the enemy's camp. And may we be, as good soldiers, not comfortable in the enemy's camp.
Amen.
Yes, I would desire to grow in faith and to be free from a few of those fears that still do affect me in how I live out my life in the Lord. And I just wanted to make a comment on the difference between God's sovereignty, or the kind of the overlap between God's sovereignty and our individual responsibility. Mose had used an illustration there as he had perhaps written down a date wrong. And from my background, that would take a little bit of explaining, and I've had a little opportunity to learn some of that. So I just want to make a comment on that. From where I was raised and how I was brought up, that would sound like not taking responsibility for a mistake that was made, a human mistake. And that brings up a whole area of our human frailty. And yet it is, I think, a great source of peace if we realize that God is aware of our frailties. And God does often in our life, let's say, make up for our frailties and might bring a reminder, might bring a correction to us. And yet it is appropriate for us to look beyond our frailty, trusting our Father, that He is able to direct even in spite of those frailties and shortcomings and weaknesses, and that we can rest in Him confidently, you know, even if there was some of my own failure involved in a situation, that I still am able to rest in Him and to trust Him with those results and to see His hand in those things. So, amen.
John.
Yes, I just wanted to share something that happened yesterday about fear. We had a roof. My roof on my house was rotten, and we needed to replace it. And if any of you have seen my house, it's a pretty steep roof. Sometimes when you're on a roof, you walk over to the edge and look down, and it can be a little scary. Well, this one, you don't even have to walk to the edge. You just get on it, and you're automatically looking down. So that roof just had fear written all over it. And a number of young men and boys and a couple of dads came out and were able to look at that roof and not be afraid because of one thing, and that was some boards that were laid across it to keep from falling off of that roof, because going up on that thing without them was pretty, it was a pretty dangerous looking situation. But when that support and that protection was put into place, they were crawling around on that thing like some monkeys and just tearing that old roof off and working on it without any kind of fear. There was caution there, but the fear had left because of the supports, protection that was put up on that roof to keep anybody from falling and dying or being injured. So I just thought of that today as how we do have that protection in Jesus, that as we're in situations that are cautious, that could be fearful, we have Jesus to look to know that we have that. We have something we can put our feet on, that foundation that can keep us from falling and keep us from fearing.
Thank you. Okay. Are we done? Do we have anything else? Last one? Oh, okay.
I just want to share my testimony a little bit. I know that as a wife that sometimes I have to check my own heart when I'm fearing situations or something. I realize that a lot of times I'm not trusting my husband, and then I have to stop and say, is that pleasing to God, and am I in my right place as a wife? And when I repent of that and put my trust back in my husband and say, I realize that my husband's under God, and my place as a wife is just to say, okay, this is the direction we're going, or this is the decisions we're making, and then I can just rest assured and I can lay all those fears aside and just, as a wife, just say, I trust, you know, my husband's following God, and I can just easily trust here. And it does a lot in my heart to be able to just, you know, not fear, if that makes sense. You know, I'm not a husband where I have all my responsibility towards God, but I'm a woman that needs to just stay in my place right underneath my dear husband.
Yeah, it's like that verse there in 1 Peter about submitting without fear and amazement. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.